بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. Just to let everyone know, there's just a woman who drove in, not Muslim, and she just stopped a brother and told him, "Now I'm sorry for what's happening." He's like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You know all the stuff that's going on." So she wanted to communicate that her condemnation and her support for the community. So that's the third instance now we have. We had a phone call, we had an email, and we had someone drop by. Alhamdulillah. So for those of us who are into the stock market or maybe precious metals, you know, imagine all of a sudden if your portfolio shoots up dramatically, right? One day you log in online and you see, like, oh my God, what's happening here, right? And and you've seen what has happened to Nortel, and you think, man, I'm not taking any chances, I'm not going to take any risks, and you sell, and you think, you know, what a great Eid gift, you know, that Allah has given me. So then, you know, when you have all this money and you look at the account, okay, you know, you have all this profit, and then you think, okay, so I'm going to pay off part of the mortgage. You know, I'm going to make some RSP, RESP contributions, I'm going to save up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But then that night you're browsing online and you see an awesome deal for a family vacation package for, let's say, Disneyland. And your kids have been bothering you about it, and you say, okay, you know what, I got this money, let me just do it. You know, impulsive buy, you just go and you click and you buy the package. So you book it. You fast forward a bit, you know, so you end up going to Disneyland, you fly there, and then, you know, you're feeling good, you're feeling rich, so you upgrade the hotel rooms, and you get to the airport, you know, instead of taking a cab, you see a limo parked there, and you say, okay, we've never been in a limo before, so you take the limo. So you keep doing this, right, or the 5 days that you're there, you keep, you know, overspending, and you lose track of your spending. And then you come home, and then you get your credit card statement. And you look at it and you're like, oh man, what happened here? And you find out that not only have you burnt through everything that you earned, but now you're in debt and you have a balance on your credit card. So that obviously is an example, because, you know, we're in a similar situation where, alhamdulillah, we have spent the month of Ramadan, you know, working hard, hoping, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven our sins, and really trying to take advantage of Laylatul Qadr, and mashallah, so much effort. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. But we have to be wise now about protecting our earnings. We have to be wise about, you know, whatever we have gained, that we protect it, that we safeguard it, so that we just blow it away in a few days. So let's take a look at what we can do to insulate ourselves so that the energy, the heat that we generated, all those savings, they can last for as long as possible. And we can continue to profit from them and to earn more and more. Now, obviously, during the month of Ramadan, prayers were a focal point. You know, mashallah, many people were coming for Taraweeh, Qiyam, Qiyam al-Layl, the last 10 nights, you know, even Jum'ah, mashallah. So we tried our best, you know, if we were not so adamant, so steadfast in our salat, then we tried not to miss it, we tried to pray it earlier. Like I said, we had Qiyam and so on. So now, if we were not regular, or if we weren't careful about timing, so let's try to be regular in that sense, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Not only that salah is obligatory, not only is prayer obligatory, but it's actually prescribed at a specific time. So the time is actually quite important as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, tells us to guard strictly our habit of prayers. Especially the middle prayer, there's a difference on which one it actually is. You could say the Asr prayer or the Fajr prayer. And stand before Allah in a devout frame of mind. So obviously prayer is important, but the timing and safeguarding it is also very important. And many times, even if we are, you know, strict about not missing our prayers, timing is something, you know, every once in a while we can find ourselves being a bit lax in. So let's try to keep that in mind, inshallah. If we were coming regularly to the masjid, for Isha, like mashallah, many people were, or for Fajr. So let's try to continue that as well, as much as possible. You know, maybe it's not possible every night, maybe we're working late and we have obligations and so on, kids have karate lessons or whatever, but, you know, then if you can't come every night, then every other night or a few nights a week, Let's try to keep that going, inshallah, as well. We know from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that offering our salah in the masjid is 25 to 27 times more valuable. So during Ramadan, you know, we knew that, you know, our actions were multiplied 70 times to 700 times, and Laylatul Qadr was 1,000 months, and so on and so forth. During the rest of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still encouraging us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still offering us extra bonuses. So coming to the masjid, right? Extra 25, 27 times reward, praying in with Jama'ah as well. The extra prayers, of course, at night. Qiyam, right, is not only for Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ would pray outside of Ramadan as well. So much so that during his prayers, they would be so intense and so long that the skin of his feet would crack. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that she asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you know, why do you do this? When you have been forgiven and your former and latter sins, everything has been forgiven. So why are you, you know, going through so much trouble where your feet are, you know, the skin on your feet is getting cracked and you're standing for so long? He said, should I not be a grateful servant of Allah? So this was a way of showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even though his sins were forgiven and he didn't have anything to worry about in that sense, yet he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would still put so much effort into prayer at night to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now many of us probably gave extra charity in the month of Ramadan. And let's try to keep that going as well, inshallah, because there's a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that charity does not diminish wealth, right? We could think that, okay, we're giving 10 bucks and those 10 bucks are gone into the box, but the fact of the matter is that even though it appears to us that our wealth is being diminished, that our wealth is becoming less, but in fact, more blessings come into our wealth and, you know, it becomes more. And one way how that is could be manifested is, for example, you know, it's actually happened to me, maybe not exactly, but so I get a bonus at work and I'm happy and, you know, okay, I got extra paycheck and I'm thinking, as I mentioned in the beginning, what I could do with it. Next thing you know, I go somewhere and I get a parking ticket for 100 bucks, right? And there go my 100 bucks. So these are the type of things that if we keep giving charity, inshallah, continuously, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just so makes it happen that our wealth does not diminish but rather it increases. That's also another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that which says to the effect that when a generous person gives in charity, his armor expands so much as to cover his nails and wipe out his footsteps. So that's it's a metaphorical explanation, but the point is that by offering charity, our sins get covered, meaning get forgiven, and we are protected from trials and tribulations. So this is also a benefit of giving charity. So we should try as much as possible, this is for myself as well, try to give as much as possible, even if it's not much, but if it's consistent, we do it on a daily basis, you know, if it's a dollar, if it's a quarter, whatever it is, but at least we do something small, but something that's consistent. So if we do it every day, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be recording that we gave charity every day. Inshallah, it will be beneficial for us. And of course, the month of Ramadan was the month of the Quran, and mashallah, we had the recitation of Quran here, and I'm sure a lot of us spend a lot of time reciting the Quran. So that too should be a regular habit as well. Again, it doesn't have to be much. It doesn't have to be a lot. Unless you're a hafiz and you really want to hold on to it, then you should really get working. I say this for myself. But in any case, we should all try as much as possible. Even if we recite one surah, one page, a few ayat, that will be beneficial, inshallah, because the Prophet ﷺ has instructed us to read the Quran. He says, recite the Quran, for it will come as an intercessor for its reciters on the day of resurrection. So the Quran, if you have a strong relationship with the Quran, it's something we recite every day on a daily basis, we ponder over, we take time to understand and to reflect upon, then inshallah on the day of resurrection, the Quran can actually act as an interceder on our behalf. Now these were the actions that we could continue doing, so we, you know, continue profiting, inshallah. Now, we also have to be extremely careful about guarding what we have already gained. And there's a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companions, do you know who is the one who's bankrupt? You know, so commonly what would we say, who's the one who's bankrupt? So they give the common answer, which is, The bankrupt among us is the one who has neither money or doesn't have any property, right? But the Prophet ﷺ said, the real person who is bankrupt of my ummah would be the one who would come on the day of resurrection. So on the day of judgment, this person will arrive with sacks full of salah, you know, psalm, sadaqah. So he was offering his prayers, he was fasting in the month of Ramadan, even optional fasts, and he was giving in charity. So he was doing all these things, a lot of these things that I mentioned. But he will find himself bankrupt on the day of resurrection. In that he will have exhausted all his good deeds. And how will he exhaust all these good deeds he arrived with? Because he reviled others. He brought calumny against others. He unlawfully devoured wealth of others. He shed the blood of other people. He beat other people. So in essence, he took away the rights of others. So he did all these good actions, but he was not careful about safeguarding the rights of other people, people around him. So because of that, what's going to happen? You get a credit. So I had a problem with Bell Canada, right? So it was a bundle discount. I was supposed to get a discount. I didn't get a discount. You know, 10 months later, I still wasn't getting a discount. So anyway, I called them. They didn't do anything about it. Then I complained to a columnist at the Toronto Star. I don't know her, by the way. And then she sent it to media relations. Anyway, next day I got a call from Bell. Okay, we're really sorry about what happened. Okay, we'll credit your account, $130, that's it. So, you know, you have trouble and we get a credit. So on the day of judgment, the people who have had trouble from others, they will get a credit from their account. So the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that his good deeds would be credited to the account of those who have suffered at his hands. So the people who were his victims, they will start getting his good deeds into their own account. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is going to say, okay, transfer this amount. Okay, you beat this person. Okay, this many good deeds. Okay, you took his wealth. Okay, that much of charity to him. And slowly and slowly, his entire account, everything that he came up with, would be depleted. And then, if his good deeds fall short to clear the account, so now what do we do? Right, in this world, we just declare bankruptcy. End of story, right? And your debts are gone. You can't declare bankruptcy on the Day of Judgment. Right? So then, the misdeeds of his victims would be transferred to his account. Now imagine the calamity this person is going through. So he arrives thinking, hey man, I got it, you know, I did it, I have all these good deeds. But then, one by one, he watches as his account is slowly lowered until it reaches zero, and then starts going into negative. And then he has all these actions now in his account that he didn't even do, right? All these misdeeds that he didn't even commit, but now they're put into his account, and he's made responsible for those debts because of his misdeeds, because of his treatment of other people. And if his good deeds fall, so their sins will be entered into his account, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, but then he will be thrown into the fire of hell. So this is actually a very serious reflective hadith where we should really take a sincere look at ourselves and our behavior and our communities and our families, with our business partners, with our classmates, and see, are we really cheating anyone? Are we taking the rights away from anyone? Because these are actually very important. And finally, one thing we can do is seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness regularly. Because as I mentioned once before, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, by Allah, I ask for forgiveness from Allah and turn to Him in repentance more than 70 times a day. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he has been forgiven, would stand in prayer at night. His feet would get cracked, but he would do so to show thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would also still, just even after all that, ask for forgiveness from Allah and turn to Him in repentance more than 70 times a day. So these are some of the, you know, a brief summary of things we can do to really keep that momentum, keep that energy going from Ramadan, and really take this as an opportunity to improve ourselves and to continue forward on the right step. In the end, I would just say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've not created the jinn and the insan, the human beings, except for my worship. Right? So that is actually the entire purpose of the creation. Right? That's not to say that everything else that we do in this world are not important. But what it does mean is that everything else that we do should be supporting that main purpose. right? So if you reevaluate everything that we do and we see everything that we're doing in our lives, is this conducive to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it's conducive to it, if it supports it, if it's helping it, then that's wonderful. Then even those supporting actions become an act of worship. Right? So if a person goes to school, so school started, right? Kids are going to university. If you go to university thinking, okay, I want to get a degree so that I can, you know, either get a good job and you know, support my family, which is an act of worship. Or, you know, I can support the masjid, I can support my community, I can help better the world. Then that whole period of study becomes an act of worship. Right? On the other hand, you know, if you think that, let's take an example, right? Anything you do, if you're eating, right, and you say that I'm eating to gain strength so that I can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, make the right intention, and even the eating becomes an act of worship. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually made worship quite easy for us. Right? We just gotta have the right intention, do things with the right mindset, with the right frame of mind, and with the right intention obviously, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count that as worship as well, and we will be then fulfilling the purpose of us being created. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me first of all, and all of us, in safeguarding our deeds, and continuing now after Ramadan on the right foot, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds, continue to do so, and take us to next Ramadan, inshallah.